Good morning.
Good morning.
Day started off kind of rough today. I found out the clock up here is about 7 minutes fast, so I'm trying to rush everybody into church. I get here this morning, and someone said, well, you didn't open up this morning because I'm duty elder, and Larry didn't tell me he was going on vacation, and he has told me if he's going to be here, don't worry about opening up because I was worship leader today. And then I noticed Sally's helping me out by passing out bulletins in the back, so I apologize. Now, to make matters worse, yesterday I shot a pistol, and I can't hear anything.
Huh?
Yesterday I shot a pistol. So, bear with me today. Thank you all for coming. We are glad to have you here.
Hey, Jim.
Yes?
I think you're also a song leader, because there's no song leader.
You know, I read that today, and already I'm starting to perspire. If I have to be song leader, we are in trouble. That was scary this morning. This morning, I'd like to welcome any visitors that we have. I went around and probably introduced myself to two couples today that's probably been here before, but you know how I am. Do we have any visitors over in the left section visiting with us today? Middle section? Yes, Jason, right? And Sue. Thank you. Glad to have you with us. Are there any in the right section? Sally, is that right? I'm real good at this. And your name, sir? Bob. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Are there any announcements this morning that are not in the bulletin that we need to bring up? None? What about prayer, praise requests? Yes, Diane.
I
want
to have a couple of nights of service tomorrow morning.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay. We had an update this morning on Kathy Green. She did have surgery. Cindy, you want to give us an update on that? Keep Kathy Green in your prayers. Are there any others? Yes.
My brother Gary in Maryland had a kidney removed and a hernia repair that they didn't know he had until they accidentally found the tumor on his kidney. So all of that was taken care of Friday. I thank you for your prayers. He's recovering so far so good, and he sounded great when I talked to him yesterday.
Yes. We heard he was a Vietnam vet, lives close to the Alabama line, and is having to hitchhike back and forth to the VA to get treatment. Are there any others? I think the attendance registers have been passed out. If you would, please sign them that you're in the 10:15 a.m. worship service. If you would, please bow your heads for a moment to prepare your hearts to receive the word of the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Our call to worship, would you stand with me this morning? God says, be still and know that I am God.
He also said, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our hymn will be on the screen, please.
And it's not on the screen, it's in the Renew hymnal. 238, I think.
He's exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He's exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He's exalted, the King is exalted on high. He's exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He's exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do come. We exalt Your name on high, for You are the Mighty One. You are the Holy God, the Comforter, the Creator, the Sustainer, and our Savior. We come today and we lift our hearts and our voices, our words, the meditations of our minds, all centered to You, that we might worship and praise You and thank You, for You are and we are Your children. Thank You, Lord, most of all, that You have sent Jesus. If we did not have Jesus in our lives, we would not be here today to worship You. So let us lift everything up to You today, Lord, and we turn this service over to You. We also lift up those names that have been mentioned in prayer. Provide the needs as only You can. And now, Lord, as we enter into our worship service, we pray as Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Apostles' Creed this morning is number 716 in your hymnal, or will be on the screen behind us. If you would, say with me, please. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning comes from Psalms 32:5b. I will confess my sins to the Lord. Our prayer of confession is in unison. If you would say with me, please. God of steadfast love, fools say in their hearts, there is no God. How often, O Lord, we are fools who confess you with our lips, but deny you with our actions. How often do we act as if you see them, O God, confident that you know what? How often, like King David before us, do we seek to hide the fruit of our sin rather than confess our transgression? How often do we cause others to stumble when we act hypocritically in our faith? Help us be constant as a North Star, O God, that others have no occasion to witness our example and say, I'd be a Christian if it weren't for the Christians. Amen. Words of assurance this morning from Psalm 14. When God restored the fortress of Zion, they were like people who dream, people who rejoiced and were glad. As God restores our fortunes, let us join them in their glad song and in their rejoicing. If you would, please turn to 345 in your hymnal.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Here's salvation. Purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praise Him, my Savior, all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praise Him, my Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, the birth of night, angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my perfect submission, honest and friend. I and my Savior are happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my
offertory sentence this morning. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Thank you. It's a different color. have a small one. We're getting more on your side, thank you. And it's not very bright. We might need a new battery in that. So we all need recharging. And we recharge ourselves by reading the Word of God and studying the God's Word. And look, this one's clear and called a loan. You can put it on, so you mash it, and you can put that on your face. And now I have an AV light, and it flashes, and then it's a tiny little light shining away too. So I want you to remember it. I want you to remember that whether we're big light or we are light with all kinds of working things, or we just kind of cut around, or we're short and solid, or we're tiny, we can all shine our light for Jesus and do His good work. Okay? Can we have a song this now? We just say this is my
scripture lesson this morning is taken from Luke and from John. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled boats both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James, John, and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish.
Thank you. For those of you that don't know me, I'm not Larry Guin. It's a pleasure for me to be here. I come to you today as the moderator of General Assembly. It'll be my honor to speak in several different settings, so why not speak at my own church? So here I am. And most of the time when you have a guest speaker, you get out early. I make no promises. But if you do look at your watch, that's okay. Just don't shake it to see if it's still running. General Assembly this year met in Memphis, and the emphasis was these scriptures and casting the net, or evangelism. But that's not something new. We've been trying to do that for this whole decade. Jesus said to Peter, "Go out into the deep water and let's catch some fish." Now, Jesus didn't say, "Let's go out there and throw out the nets and pull them back in." He said, "Let's catch fish." The other scripture in John was a different scripture, and it was late after the resurrection even. It was late in Jesus' ministry, and they had gone back to their fishing. Excuse me. They had gone back to their fishing, and Jesus appeared on the beach and he said, "You got any fish?" And they said, "No." "Well, cast your nets on the right side of the boat and you'll catch some." Now, I don't fish, don't get me wrong, but I've got an idea that if you're fishing over here and you fish over here, there's not a whole lot of difference in fishing. Am I right, for you fishermen? If the fish are not right over there, they're probably not going to be right over here. But because Jesus said, "Cast your net over on the right side." I might knock this thing over, so I'm going to move it. I don't promise to stay behind the pulpit either. So we have to remember that it's Jesus that commands us to catch these fish. Now, fishing was the major industry in that area. So Jesus was out there trying to teach in an area where people were used to being. Not for church, but there people were just used to gathering there. Jesus came to the religious organization, you might say, of that day, and he did things differently. He was trying to get them to refocus. Today, I think we need that same thing. Don't be isolated. Remember, to catch the fish, God says, we catch them, he'll clean them. So we have to be open to new ways of reaching people. Jesus said, let's refocus. He went to see people on the hillside, at the well, in the marketplace, on the cross. Remember that, if you've never heard these before, the seven last words of a dying church are, We never did it that way before. Because we have to be open to change, just like everything else in the world, because our world changes at an exponential rate. Now, God had plans for Peter. There is a thing up there, Gary. I don't know if we can get together on it. Kirk did his thing this morning, and he did great. So, yeah, there's a thing up there. So you just, Gary will follow along as best he can. But some of my points are up there on the screen. Peter said, "I'm undone." We've heard this before in the Bible. Thank you, Dylan, for coming the second. Dylan and Patrick, they've come to hear this a second time. Maybe they're, and Chelsea, maybe they're thinking I'm going to say something different this time, and it, you know, to make it worth their while to be here for two services. I don't know, but thank you for being here twice. Moses, he had excuses. Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Peter says, "I'm undone." But you see, God had big plans for Peter. He didn't realize it at the time. Peter's kind of hard-headed. Everybody knows that. Which means that he had a hard time adjusting to what Jesus wanted him to do. But once he did, he was just as hard-headed about doing it as he was about getting into the mood. So, God had special things for Peter, as He does for all of us. Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16 says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me were written in your book, ordained, before one of them came to be." He has a job for each and every one of us to do. Let's find out what it is and do it. Evangelism. Evangelism is supposed to be the focus for our denomination. We are a connectional church. We're not just a church out here in Nolensville by ourselves. We have a denomination and people in Memphis that we have a board of missions. Well, it's called the Missions Ministry Team now. Discipleship Ministry Team. Communications. We have people in Memphis that connect us all together. Tell you what's going on in different parts of the world and different parts of the country. So the emphasis has been on, for this whole decade, evangelism. How are we doing? I'm afraid we're not doing so good, are we? Our numbers here, if you want to go by numbers, our numbers here are about the same as they were. We had a little high point after this sanctuary was built. But as far as our attendance, our numbers, we are about the same as we were. Now, that doesn't mean that we're doing a bad job. It just means that we're not getting numbers. Okay? Because I have some good things to say about our church, too. So, we need a plan or new methods. We must get involved personally. I go back to our study of the prayer of Jabez. We've had several good studies here at this church. And studying the prayer of Jabez is, "Bless me indeed, Lord, today." This can be a prayer for every morning, just with our morning devotionals. And this is in the Bible somewhere. I don't remember where it is. I didn't write it down. But if you look up, try to look it up, it's there. "Bless me this day. Bless me indeed, dear Lord. Are we not blessed beyond measure?" If we can't say that we have been blessed, God wants to bless us. Broaden my territories. Now, here's the thing about evangelism. This today is not evangelism. Today is worship. We're lifting ourselves up to the Lord today with our minds and our hearts. We're here to say thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done for us, and praise Him for being holy and wonderful and mighty and powerful, and just praise Him. I mean, if we don't have that within us, then we're not here for the right reasons. Evangelism is 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. What are you going to be doing at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning? That's when evangelism happens. 200 years ago, when the Cumberland Presbyterian Church was founded in the great revivals of the early 1800s, then there were circuit riding preachers out in the frontiers that took the word to the people and brought the word here even to Tennessee. They were missionaries. Not too many years ago, we visited people in their homes because people visited the church. People came to church. 35, 40 years ago, when somebody moved into a new neighborhood, they visited the churches. We don't do that now. Plus, people don't want you coming to their houses, especially unannounced. I remember the first time that I went visiting on a Wednesday night at the Tusculum Church. I didn't think I was going to make it up on that porch that first visit. My knees were shaking. I was a nervous wreck. It became easier to do that. So, don't be afraid to evangelize. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody about your faith. It gets easier every time you do it. And as you learn more about what God wants you to do, it's easier to do it. Talk to people at where you work, where you play, down at the ball field. How many hundreds of people are at the ball fields here in Nolensville? Probably every night. There's just people there that are not going to come to the church unless we ask them. I tell you one, there's a commercial, I forget who it's for even. There's two people having dinner, and they're texting each other across this table. They're not even talking. Have we become so technological that if you work in a place where you have cubicles, you want to tell somebody, hey, I want to go to lunch with you today, email them. They might be 25, 30 feet away. Email, a text, call them on the cell phone. Are we becoming impersonal in our lives? Cast your net out there in that deep water and go talk to somebody. There is a statement by William Barclay on there somewhere, Gary. Too often we wait because the time is not opportune. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll have more time tomorrow. Well, it's just not convenient until next week. How many times will we use those kind of excuses? If we wait for a perfect set of circumstances, we won't start. We'll never begin. If we want a miracle, we must take Jesus at His word when He bids us attempt the impossible. Now, the impossible for people is different. Something that seems impossible for you might be easy for someone else. So, how do we do these things? How is it? What am I trying to say? I'm using a lot of this for my personal life, too. I hope you understand. First, we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus has to be real in our lives. It's not a casual thing. It's not something we can go, like going to the movie. We go see a good movie. If it's good enough, we go twice. If the sermon's good enough, people come twice. You know. So, no, don't give me any credit at all. Because I'm here today. We're all here today because we have Jesus in our life. I stand before you today because Jesus is real in my life. Daily devotional is a good place to start. Be instant and constant in prayer. When something happens that you can't do anything else about it but pray, do you stop right then and there and pray? You don't have to be down here at the altar. God's right there with you. Are you so close to God that if you're by yourself somewhere and you burp, do you say, excuse me, Lord? Because He's right there. Think about it. Isn't He worthy of that? That we say, oh, excuse me, Lord, I'm sorry. We'd say that to our spouse even if we were close. I hope. Wouldn't it be nice if we got to heaven, we was walking up there on the streets of gold now, walking around, here comes God down the road. My goodness, am I dressed good? Am I in my Sunday perfect? Here comes God. And God looks at you and He says, thanks for keeping in touch. Wow. Do we have that in our lives? Are we keeping in touch with Him? That if we walked up and met Him in heaven and He said, thanks. Hey, Jerry, thanks for keeping in touch. That's what God wants. God wants us to be in touch with Him. That's a personal relationship with Jesus and God. That's how personal it needs to be. Ask, and you shall receive. We have some good studies, as I said before, that we've gone through here that will help you in if you don't have the kind of relationship you think you should. Experiencing God is a good one. Evangelism explosion, a purpose-driven life. Study is not enough. Study is not enough. The second thing we need to do is put feet on our faith. God has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. In James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 16, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Put feet on your faith. Stop and pick up a hitchhiker. I know that it's not very wise in today's time, but it might be what that person needs today. That's just an example. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He called 12 ordinary people to be apostles. They weren't preachers. They weren't priests. They were fishermen and tax collectors. Paul was a tent maker. Ordinary, everyday people like you and me. And look what they did. If he can use an old truck driver like me, I know he can use anybody. Okay, so we got to put feet on our faith. God might call you to go to Colombia or Haiti or South America, Guatemala, Japan, Hong Kong, Myanmar. God might have something like that for you. How am I going to pay for that? In one of our daily devotions, and I don't remember how long ago it's been, it was written by a Chinese missionary. God's work, done God's way, will never lack God's provision. I've been to Colombia, South America 13 times. I have yet to pay for one of those trips personally. If God sends you somewhere, He's going to equip you, and He's going to pay the way. You might have the money to do those things on your own, but if you don't, and He wants you to go, He will send you. Our denomination, this is another moderator thing that I plan to do for the whole year. Our OUO, we have 700 churches. How we pay for missionaries and people that work at the denomination is through our OUO. That's 10% of this church or the other 700 churches, money that they're supposed to pay to help the denomination. Less than half of our 700 churches pay their OUO. We are a church that pays our apportionment. We have been faithful to do that. So I pat you on the back. I pat our leaders and our pastor on the back for being able to do that. If the churches paid their OUO, the people in Memphis would be looking for ways to minister because they would have more money than they need. They're getting by now with less than half of the churches paying, and most of those don't pay 100%. How much of a blessing would it be if they would have that money to do those things? I think they do real well. I'm on the Board of Missions or the Missions Ministry team, and the Board of Missions used to get 50% of OUO. We get 27% now. That's part of the reason why we don't sponsor full-time missionaries anymore. Missionaries have to raise their own support. Our individual, our personal finances are would act the same way. 10% of this church, if this church had 10% of everybody that came to church here's income, we would be looking for ways to minister because we would have more money than we needed. I don't know who tithes. I don't need to know. I don't want to know who in this church pays what. That's one of the things that, of the many things that I volunteer to do, that's one thing that I've never wanted to be on the finance committee. It's just one of the things I don't want to do. But I know what tithing can do. I'm going to use a little reverse math on you now. Multiply by 10 what you give to the church and see how you could live. That's personal. You don't have to get your paper and pencil out right now. That's a personal thing. But if you multiplied by what by 10 what you give to the church, and that's all you had to live on, how would you be doing? Okay? Nancy and I made the decision over 30 years ago that we would tithe. Now, one of my favorite scriptures is Malachi 3:10. The Lord says, "Bring all the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse, so that there will be meat in my house, so that there will be provisions for the church, so that the church will have provisions. Bring it in here. Test me in this, says the Lord, that if you do this, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you such a blessing you won't have room to receive it." I tell you, that's how my life has been blessed. I'm in my 10th year of retirement. I'm not an old person. But I've been retired almost 10 years and have not had to work for money in 10 years, and I've been traveling all over the world. God will do what He says He will do. I'd like, if you have a Bible, if you'll turn to it in Matthew 6 and 33, that Malachi 3:10, that's Old Testament. Some people say that the Old Testament is not the same as the New Testament. Well, unfortunately, it is. Everything that Jesus taught or the other people taught in the New Testament is in the Old Testament. You see, we needed a refresher course. We had to refocus. It's worded a little different, but it's in there. It's all taken. That's the only scripture they had to work with. The apostles and Jesus, they were teaching with the only scripture they had, Matthew the 6th chapter. The only scripture they had to deal with was the Old Testament. Now we have the New Testament. So, I want to read about God's provision in the New Testament. I know that all of you have heard this scripture. Matthew 6:33. "Seek first His righteousness." "Seek ye first," I believe it says in the King James. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." What things? Malachi 3:10 calls it, "I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you such a blessing you won't have room to receive it." It says in verse 28, leading up to 33, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." He knows that we need clothes, and He knows that we need shelter. He knows that we need food. "Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I can't say it any plainer than that. Everything we could possibly need will be given to us. Like the 70 that Jesus sent out two by two, they were amazed. They were amazed that people were healed. And they drove out demons in Jesus' name. We can do miracles. He promised us that we could do miracles in His name. How many of you witnessed a miracle? There you go. There you go. There you go. Still happens today. We went to Pensacola, Florida, after Hurricane Ivan. And two things happened down there on two different trips. First one, we went to this lady's house, and her house was destroyed. The hurricane had blown the roof off her house. Then the rain came. The water got in the house. Her house was ruined. Evidently, some other people had told her they would help. Insurance company denied their claims. They didn't have the right coverage. I can't imagine. So we go and we look at her house, and we told her that we'd be back tomorrow with people to help. And she was so discouraged, it was like, yeah, right, you'll be back. She was so despondent that she was about ready to tie a cinder block, a concrete block around her leg and throw herself into the swimming pool. She told us that. That's how down she had been. In 3.5 days, we put her a roof on, gutted her house, and rewired it. When we go, we work. But we were gutting the house out and putting all this stuff on the curb. And along comes the code's enforcer. This is not a code's man. This is not a man that tells you what kind of permit you got to have. This is a man that tells you what you're doing wrong. He's got handcuffs. He's got handcuffs on his belt now. You know, this is a policeman. He wouldn't even come on the property. He called that lady, the homeowner, out to the curb and said, "You've got too much debris on the curb. You've got 24 hours to get this stuff off the curb or you're going to jail." Can you imagine that? Now, we're just giving her a little light of hope here working on her house. And along comes Satan. Well, the code man. Same thing almost. Especially in Nolensville. Right? Yeah. Especially here. So she came back crying. She was in tears. What else is going to happen to this poor lady? So we called everybody off the roof. There was about 15 or 20 of us there. We got in the living room and we got in a circle and we held hands and we prayed. Lord, we don't know what to do. Can you help us here? We went back to work. And we were there to work. We worked. About 30 minutes, here comes another guy. An older guy. He just walked right up on the property. Reminded me a lot of Harold. Santa Claus looking kind of a fella. White hair, white beard. He talks to this girl. He wants to know who we are. He wants to know what's going on and what this other guy said. She told him what was going on. He said, "Don't worry about a thing. I'll take care of everything." I'm telling you, in Florida, that was a miracle. You think Nolensville got bad codes? You don't know anything. Florida's tough. The next time we went down, we were putting on this roof, and it was a Tuesday morning, and the drywall people were coming to hang the drywall the next day, Wednesday, and we're putting the roof on. You can't hang the drywall if you don't have a roof. I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. So and it come a flood. I'm talking about a big, dark, black cloud. So we took an early lunch. We went inside where it was dry, mostly, and we were taking lunch. We'd already had the house gutted out. How devastated is this? Julie knows. We went down to help Julie's sister. How devastating is it when something comes along and destroys your house unexpectedly? I tell you what hurts. Is to drag that baby grand piano out of that house and put it on the curb that was ruined. That's devastation. Finding a dead body in your backyard. That's devastation. What are you going to do? So it's raining, drywall people are coming. What are you going to do? We got in a circle and we prayed. Now, Lord, you know we got to get this roof on. The drywall people are coming tomorrow. So we prayed. Now, I got this little fella from Kingston, Tennessee. Young's Chapel Cumberland Presbyterian Church. He's about 80 years old, about 77 or 78 back then, maybe 75, I don't know. He's got a lot more faith than I have because he put the clock on God. He said, okay, we prayed right here. When's the rain going to stop? Now, that's pretty brave. That's pretty brave. He'll tell you this story. 3 minutes. It stopped raining in 3 minutes. The sun was shining in 30 minutes. Now, some of you might scoff at that. I don't care. I know what happened. I know that God stopped the rain. God's work done God's way will never lack God's provision. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will open. Offer yourself to God. Take that first step of faith. It might be a shaky knee step. Your knees might, what in the world am I doing? God will take care of you. What is the ministry of our church? How can we improve? First of all, this I'm patting you on the back because we are a church that does things. And most of the time we do them quietly. We have Sunday school classes that do great community work. We have an outreach committee that's headed up by Sonia Haywood, and they do local work and international work with people like World Vision and other organizations. We've bought, Melanie will tell you, what did we buy, a cow or goat or pig or what did we buy? Okay, bought a pig for Heifer International. We do a lot of work that goes unnoticed. We got a thank you note a couple of weeks ago from the Nashville Rescue Mission thanking us for our help. Larry and I didn't know who did it. Turned out one of the Sunday school classes had been taking stuff down there to help the rescue mission. We had to search to find who it was because they did it quietly. Maybe that's one of the things that's wrong with our church. We don't brag about ourselves. We don't tell other people what we're doing. Here's another good question. I already asked you about, I know you're just now getting over my other question about multiplying by 10 what you give to the church. So let's put that one behind us. Okay? See, I forgot about that one. Wasn't a rabbit trail. Is Jesus real in your life? Is what you do, what you're called to do in your ministry, and we got people here that have a ministry and they're fulfilling that call. We've got people here that's got a ministry and don't know it, and they're not fulfilling their call. But there's things that we have to do. God wants us to do things. But the question is, are we not excited about it? I tell you, folks, when I come back from a mission trip, Nancy won't even talk to me for 24 hours. Said, you're too keyed up. Settle down. Sleep. Maybe you'll forget some of it. You know, she won't. She will not. She puts me in my own room for 24 hours. She will not. Because she knows that I'm just bubbling over. It's coming out of all my pores. Because I get excited about it. What's wrong with us? Nothing's wrong with us. We just got to have that come to Jesus meeting and take that step of faith and make our personal relationship better with Him. That's what we got to do. I'm sorry, I do get fired up. It's like this. Let me tell you about my car, okay? I got it from Jerry, but Jerry helped me get it. But golly, what about my car? I get better than 30 miles per gallon on the highway. I got a seat that reclines. Nancy's got one that reclines. When she wants to take a nap, she just lays back there and takes a nap. She's got power windows, power door locks. I got a little button, push, opens the car up, opens the trunk. You know, she's got her own temperature control. That's important. Let me tell you, that's important. She can be hot or cold, and I'm over there steady with my temperature. I love my car. I like the color. I like to drive it. Let me tell you about Jesus. I wouldn't be anything if I didn't have Jesus in my life. I wouldn't be moderator of General Assembly. I wouldn't be standing up here in front of you today if Jesus wasn't important in my life. If I didn't have a personal relationship with Him, I wouldn't be here today. So if we can brag about our cars or our grandchildren, I'm a professional. If we can brag about those things, why can't we brag about Jesus and what He's done in our lives? Why can't we? The most important decision that you ever make in your life is what you do with Jesus. It's the most important decision you ever make in your life. You can say yes or no. It's your choice. I knew there was a point to all of this. Just now getting to it. We got to reach that point in our lives when we are in awe of what God has done in our lives. Then we need to share it with others. Make them want what we have. There's a prayer at the end, Gary, I hope. Yeah. And it's in, I think I put it in the bulletin too. I'm not sure. Did I? Okay, it's in the bulletin too. So take this with you. This is the Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning stuff right here. Okay? Wednesday at 9 o'clock. What shall I do today, Lord? Where am I needed, dear Father, today? What loving words shall I say today? What kind deeds would you have me do? What lives will I touch today? Show me your will. Teach me your way. What is your plan, Lord? Your plan. God's plan. What is your plan, Lord, for my life today? Let's stand and sing. I think it's 373. First and third.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I
follow Him. He will lead you. In Jesus' name.